Welcome to Health Styles. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. Infant and maternal mortality, or deaths, are a global concern, but particularly in Africa, where access to care is a problem for many reasons. Esther Madudu is a midwife in the Sorati district of eastern Uganda and works at the Tariri Health Center. She and other midwives deliver 40 to 50 babies a month at the health center and another 20 more in villages nearby. Esther Madudu's commitment to saving the lives of Ugandan women and children earned her the REAL Award for Outstanding Healthcare Workers Around the World, sponsored by Save the Children and the Frontline Healthcare Workers Coalition. She is also an ambassador for AMREF, African Medical Research Foundation, and its Stand Up for African Women's African Mothers campaign. We're delighted to have Esther Madudu with us today on Health Styles. Thank you for being here, Esther.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we also have Dennis Kayuwa. He is the Communications and Advocacy Manager for AMREF Uganda. And thank you so much for being with us today, Dennis.
Well, thank you very much for hosting us.
And I know that you both are here in New York. This is on April 30th that we're recording this. And you're on your way to Washington to testify before Congress. So this must be a very important visit for you, an exciting one. And we welcome you to New York and to the United States.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So let's start, Esther, with you telling us your story about how and why you became a midwife in Uganda.
Thank you very much. I have to start telling a story about my life, how I became a midwife. I picked the interest from my grandmother, who was the birth attendant, because I used to see mothers who could come to her house with a distended abdomen. And I could ask her what those women ate so that the abdomen were distending. So one day she called me and said, Esther, come and see what is coming out of the big stomach. So she called me to witness the delivery. It wasn't so good, but I had to dare to watch because I was interested in seeing what was coming out of the big stomach. And after that, I asked her, who taught you how to do this work? She said, no, me, I'm using my natural knowledge from God. But for you, when you grow up, you have to go to school. You have to train to become a nurse. Of course, by then, I was very young. I was like 6, 7 years. I did not know what a nurse or a midwife does. But I grew up with that passion and a vision. And despite of that, I was born a premature, who was weighing 900 grams, a very lucky lady who survived, because 900 grams, I wouldn't have survived. But this grandmother of mine, who happened to be the birth attendant, she locally intubated me. Mm-hmm. In the grass-thatched house, she kept really locally intubating until my first birth was after 4 months. Oh. So that was so great. That is how I became a midwife, because after I grew up, I finished my education, my O-level high school, and I went for the institution for nursing and midwifery.
And did you say she intubated you?
Intubation, yes. Local intubation.
Incubation.
Incubation, yes.
And how did she do that?
Oh, she did, we grow cotton in Africa. That was cotton. She removed the seeds and she packed a little cotton in the basket and she put some clothes, many of them, and kept me in the basket. And she could burn fire from out and brings the charcoal, which is burning, in the house. You know, it's a grass-thatched house, but it's a round room. So that is how she locally intubated me.
Kept you
of
warm.
Course, no bathing, no what, and only giving me feeds. But she says that I was very active in feeding, though my jaws were not all that strong, but I could take something. Whenever she drops anything in my mouth, I could swallow it. Yeah, nice. That's how I survived, and that is how I became a midwife.
So your grandma was very influential in your life.
Yeah.
And
she's still alive.
Ah, she
she's
must
now
be very proud of you.
93 years and with one teeth in her mouth. She calls herself a baby now.
But she must be very proud of you.
Yeah, she's too. I'm proud of her.
Yes. So she was dealing then with issues of women dying from during pregnancy, after pregnancy, and their babies dying. To what extent? Talk about the problem in Uganda and in your region. Why do mothers die?
Yeah, first of all, in Uganda, maternal mortality rate is 435 per 100,000 live births. And why mothers are dying? Because of one, as lack of human resource, meaning the midwives in the health facilities. For example, you can find one false facility with one midwife. So women say, oh, we cannot go and wait. Women are many. And these women are also dying due to postpartum hemorrhage because they stay far from the health facilities and they assume that if I give birth at home, there'll be no problem. But after giving birth at home, the bleeding comes in and the birth attendant cannot control it. And the newborn death also happen at home because these mothers can walk a longer distance, like 15 kilometers to the health facility. But before they reach the health facility, they get tired and they begin pushing along the road.
Oh.
When the baby is pushed out asphyxiated, no one need to resuscitate, so the newborn death happens.
Oh.
And most of these mothers die also due to lack of drugs and supplies. You find that the mother is bleeding but there's no drug you can give. There are no fluids to resuscitate the mother. There are no resuscitation equipments for adults.
Mm.
There are no resuscitation equipments for babies.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to help or you try to resuscitate, but you're lacking something for that. And the referrals also, you want to refer the mother. Ambulance is there, but there's no gas.
Mm.
Yeah, so you find that if it is your mother or your relative who needs a referral, you have to buy gas to put in the government ambulance so that you get to the health facility. If not, it's the midwife because you don't want the death to occur there.
Yes.
And, you know, poor infrastructure is one of the challenges that causing all this death.
Yes.
And the lack of male involvement in reproductive health.
Ah.
So some of our African men, they say, okay, it's you who is pregnant, not me.
Mm.
They don't accompany them to health facilities. If a mother says, I'm in labor, the man doesn't bother to bring her up.
Mm.
So this mother gets up in laboring at home. She ends up with a complication which may take her life. The problem which would be avoidable, prevented by the midwife.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, Dennis Kayua, you work with AMREF Uganda, AMREF being African Medical and Research Foundation. So, you've got to do a little work on these guys, right? You've got to get the men in shape.
Absolutely.
So, talk with us about AMREF's interest then in this problem.
Oh, thank you very much. Basically, AMREF, we operate under, we have a business plan, a five-year business plan, and our focus in the business plan is basically addressing maternal and child health in Africa. And despite all the other interventions that we have done, we are focusing on areas on how we can actually improve the lives of the poorest communities, the people who are in the hard-to-reach areas. And in this case, we are looking at how we can again strengthen the governments, where we work, the systems, the healthcare system, to better offer services to the communities. As you may know, if you want to address maternal and child health issues, one of the key areas of focus is human resource for health. And when we talk about human resource for health, it takes in so many other things. But for AMREF, we believe that if you to address issues to do with maternal and child health, you must have a midwife. To begin with, you must have a midwife, despite all the other shortfalls that might be in place, the distance, the infrastructure, you know, all the other shortfalls. We believe that if you have a midwife, that when a mother comes in, they actually have access to a skilled healthcare support you've moved a step forward. And again, that is why we have nominated Esther Madudu, and we're again lobbying to nominate her to see that at least we raise more awareness about the fact that we need more midwives to be able to save mothers. As I might share with you, we know that at least one midwife in a year can actually take care of 500 mothers. Mm-hmm. In fact, can save close to 100 babies in 1 year mm-hmm. in Africa. So we strongly believe that with these concerted efforts that we've put forward, we intend to train 15,000 midwives by the year 2015 in Africa, which we're already moving forward. And we believe that if she's nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, it will go a long way in raising the awareness and again raising the resources to train these midwives.
So let's just pause for a minute. So AMREF has a campaign to have get signatures on a petition to nominate Esther Madudu for Nobel Peace Prize on behalf of midwives
in Africa.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are running an international campaign called the Stand Up for African Mothers campaign. And basically the campaign has three components. The first component being basically nominating Esther Madudu for the Nobel Peace Prize. As we mentioned earlier, in Africa there are only two people who have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize. So we believe if she's, as you've mentioned, she has won the RILA award and so many other awards as the representative of the African midwife, we think if she's able to have the Nobel Peace Prize, it will go a long way in raising awareness and informing the world that if you intend to support and curb the issue of maternal mortality and infant mortality, especially in Africa, a midwife is at the center of the efforts. And again, we believe that we as Africans can contribute on health development. So we have this campaign involves at least raising $1, where all of us, myself, have paid up the $1, even more. Even the AMREF staff, even other people in Africa are paying $1 to the campaign, which is again towards the training the 15,000 midwife as the third component, as I'd mentioned, by 2015.
So the website for that, so this is about part of what you'd like people to do is go to this website and sign a petition for nominating Esther Madudu for the Nobel Peace Prize for 2015 on behalf of midwives in Africa and to contribute $1 to support this effort. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the website is AMREF USA, that's AMREFUSA.org/standup.
Yep.
Right. AMREFUSA.org/standup.
Exactly.
Yep.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's and it is about raising awareness, isn't it? About the importance of this, that training a midwife, and 15,000 is an ambitious goal. So it's actually you're also helping with economic development of communities, aren't
absolutely.
You?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can again share with you that part of the other things that AMREF has actually focused on is advocacy for health.
Yes.
We have a lot of advocacy efforts to support the Ministry of Health of where we are working to make sure there's more resources allocated to the Ministry of Health, and again more resources allocated to maternal and child health initiatives.
And maybe gas for that ambulance?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's and addressing
yes.
all these areas on health, human resources for health,
yes.
and the infrastructure and all that. All
yes.
that, we do a lot of advocacy efforts to make sure at least enough resources or at least minimal resources, the ideal resources are allocated to maternal and child health initiatives.
So it's working with government to try to build the infrastructure and value what the midwives bring
absolutely.
To the families and communities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Esther Madudu, tell me, how are you saving lives? What
yeah.
difference do you make?
Yeah, thank you very much. A difference I make is that I have dedicated my life to healthcare worker who is in the rural area. You know, you're just like a guard in a health facility because you stay there, you live there, and so that any mother who is brought at any time, you are able to give the service at any time because they come at night, at 2 a.m., 3, 4, so there's no time of sleeping. You dedicate yourself to be there so that you can't. And should any complication arise and there's no supplies or drugs, you have to improvise and do the referral if needed. And if the referral is made, you have to end up yourself trying to support in buying the gas for the ambulance. Because the government gave us the ambulance, but the gas is always brought after. The PHC public health contributions are brought after 3 months. So the ambulance runs every day, and we cannot wait for the 3 months to wait for the money. So you have to end up buying the gas to make sure this mother is get to a referral hospital. She has got the service. Other doctors have handled her.
So and if she's having complications that might require cesarean section, you would put her in the ambulance and get her to the hospital do the cesarean section, because you can't do the cesarean
we
sections
cannot
there.
Do the section.
You don't have
C-sections,
the anesthesia,
We still lack staff, as I said. We lack the anesthetics. We lack the theater staff, nurses. We lack the theater assistant. We lack some of the equipments in the theater. So the theater was renovated very well by AMREF, but it lacks still human resource. And how we are saving lives again is that we visit these mothers, we walk, we ride bicycles to hard-to-reach areas to visit these mothers, to take the services there. Because there are mothers who might have given birth at home, the babies need immunization, but they can't walk. You know, ignorance is there. So we have to go ride the bikes to the hard to reach areas, like 20 kilometers from the health facility. So that's how we make the changes. And we involved, how we have again changed, made the changes that we trained the village health team members. These are knowledgeable people in the communities who are with these people. We assigned each of the VHT member about 30 households to
VHT being
village health team member, each of them to monitor 30 households so that any mother who is pregnant, she's brought to health facility for prenatal care. That person is responsible to see that this mother has come for prenatal care 4 times during pregnancy. Children below 5 must have got the immunization. Any outbreak of any infection or any disease, they are to report. They link the health facility with the community. That is how we have made the changes. And, you know, AMREF initiated that program, and the government took it over. And we call them our health center once at the lowest level, because they do the early referrals so that we also refer early.
Earlier.
Before the complication is that is it. And that is how we make the changes. And still we need a lot of things, because one midwife or two or three cannot really stay you. There's a lot to do, because we do integrated services all over and the catchment area. And we have to go to for supervision for the other lower 12 health facilities to supervise the other midwives and nurses to see services are going on smoothly. So there's still a lot of things to do.
So let me just remind listeners that this is Health Styles. I'm Diana Mason. And we're talking with Esther Madudu, a midwife from Uganda, and with Dennis Kayua, who is the Communications and Advocacy Manager for AMREF Uganda, AMREF being the African Medical and Research Foundation. And they're here talking about whole campaign, the African Stand Up for African Mothers campaign that AMREF has developed the target is getting 15,000 midwives in Africa or Uganda?
In Africa.
By 2015. It's a large agenda, but you're working very strategically to try to meet that goal, preparing midwives, not necessarily nurse midwives, right?
Absolutely. We have quite a number of avenues and over which we are intending to have this accomplished. We have the e-learning training module where the midwives can actually have this training at the, when they're actually at their stations. Yeah, so and then this e-learning has actually enabled most of the midwives who work in the heart, especially as Esther, who work in some of the most rural communities, health facilities, to actually access this basic and more improved training from their workstations.
So it's an online computer,
yes.
Online?
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically it's e-learning. You use the CDs and, you know, online learning. You don't need to be. It's not like it's similar to a distance, but it's basically not a classroom-based training.
Yes.
But of course, it involves some sessions where someone has to do the practicum from the health facility, and also to attend a few face-to-face sessions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not just sitting on the computer answering a few questions.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So Esther, let me go back to some of the other work that you're doing that saves lives. Mm-hmm. One is early detection of HIV, and when a mother is found to be HIV positive, talk about what you do.
Yeah, how we really find out, because I said earlier on that we do integrated services. During the prenatal antenatal care, we screen these mothers and we do the testing, pre and post counseling of all the mothers and the couples. So we do the testing for HIV, malaria, syphilis, and hemoglobin levels, so that we can rule out any problem or any deviations from normal. And we give the treatments, deworming, and we give them antimalarials, preventive treatment. And we even provide treated mosquito nets, because malaria is one of the highest disease or infection which causes abortions or even maternal death. Yeah. So, and in case you get a mother who is HIV positive during the antenatal care, you have to take longer time with her, because you have to counsel her thoroughly so that she accepts the status, and you have to counsel her for adherence of the drugs you're going to provide, and you counsel her on her nutritional status. You have to counsel her on many things.
Yes.
And the giving birth at the health facility, so that her baby is protected.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy to say that most of the mothers who come in my health facility who are HIV positive have all given birth to HIV-free babies.
HIV-free, that's great.
Yeah,
good,
because we are working hand in hand with other organizations. There's organization handling specifically HIV. So they provide the health facility with the drugs, testing kits, to make sure every pregnant mother is started. And we're using option B plus, meaning we start any pregnant mother on the antiretroviral treatment at the time she reports, or at the time you test her and find that she's positive, until you monitor her up to the time she gives birth. Immediately the baby's out, the baby's also introduced in a nevirapine syrup, so that baby can be on nevirapine syrup for 1.5 months, and then the baby is tested. After testing that baby, the baby's can be continued on septrin for prophylaxis while waiting for the second testing. And now the rapid test or the antibody test can be done to finalize the baby's HIV free. So that is how we really handle the HIV positive mothers.
You're also doing a lot more very quickly with family planning. That's been an uphill battle because of some of the attitudes, particularly of some of the men in the country, perhaps as well as the women, around using contraception. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, midwives in Africa do a general work, because we not only conducting deliveries, but we provide a lot of services. For example, conducting deliveries, clean, safe deliveries. That's what I mean. And providing family planning, postnatal care, immunizations, outreaches, treatment. And so with family planning, we have all the methods at hand. But The problem is in my region, that is where the LRA rebels embedded, you know, and they took away many children, killed many people, and killed many children. So family planning is just coming up because there's a lot of interventions put by the government, by the other organizations, to make sure these mothers accept, to make sure their fathers accept the family planning. But there's still low rates because mothers want to compensate the killed children,
yes.
The abducted children.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's still a lot. We are doing that.
A lot more work to do. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in, for the work that you're doing.
Mm.
Esther Madudu, you're doing fabulous work
as a
midwife in Uganda. And I appreciate your sharing your perspectives and what you're doing. I think it's greatly important work.
Yeah,
and for Dennis Kayua, the communications and advocacy manager for AMREF Uganda, thank you for being here today and talking about the important work that AMREF is doing.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much for hosting us.
Just for listeners, again, you can support this initiative, the Stand Up for African Mothers campaign, by going to the website AMREFUSA, that's AMREFUSA.org/standup, and sign the petition for Esther to be nominated on behalf of all midwives in Africa for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2015 and make a donation to support this campaign of 15,000 midwives by 2015.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm Diana Mason. You've been listening to Health Styles on WBAI, and you can follow us online at the Center for Health Media and Policy.com. healthmediaandpolicy.com. That's the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College that is a sponsor of this program. Thanks for tuning in.